All right, so now we're ready, dear students. Okay, we'll do that maybe later on today. Marriage and finance. Text questions to ask before you get married. There's a good one, huh? But now we're ready to do something else equally pain in the neck, playing, always making me do these things. We're ready to discuss the two most important documents in financial planning. All right? Dokey. And I'm really bad at passing out things, so just when it gets to the back, you're going to either have one less or one more. And so look to your right, look to your left, and pass them around to who needs them. And who's got them, pass them to who needs them. Money management skills, financial statements, and budgeting. The B word, budgeting. You know, if I were going to name this chapter, everybody got one? Got some extras probably? Okay, everybody got one? We're still going back there. Okay, excellent. Okay, thank you. Okay, pass it up. Thank you. I wouldn't name it this name, financial statements and money management and budgeting. I would call it how we spend how much money on what. And that this is what I hope some of you will have that aha moment when you go through this, because this is what people do. In fact, we used to have time to do this in the lab. We don't now, because they made the semester shorter. We had to get rid of a few things. But you'll see people do their cash flow statement mostly, and they'll say, "What? I'm spending how much on lunch? I'm spending how much on?" I had one student who was paying $90 a month for a storage location. $90 a month. That's $1,080 every year. That's a lot of money.
I was paying $500
and I realized I could just buy all the stuff instead. Yeah. And I said to her, well, what's in there? I mean, what's it worth? She said, it's junk. Mm-hmm. Not worth a couple $100. And so I didn't know what to say. And she just looked at me and she goes, yard sale. Okay. No. So you see, awareness is the first step. Because we tend to be running on the treadmill, and then we go, well, what happened to all the money? Well, now you're going to see it. The money management definition looks a lot like the definition of personal financing. Day-to-day financial activities necessary to manage current personal economic resources while working toward long-term financial security. Or I like to say, how come we always have too much month at the end of the money? Too much. It's a joke. But it's true for a lot of people, especially. Anybody get paid once a month? Anybody? If you work in a school district, you get paid once a month. And just ask anybody who works there, how do they adjust when they're used to going from every 2 weeks or every week a paycheck? Oh, the first few months were a little scary. And so you learn to budget because you have to budget. What are some of the most important major money activities? Store and maintain personal financial records and documents. Create, this is what we're going to do today. Dear students, this is the documents that are going to follow you for the rest of your life. Keep them up to date. They will serve you well. The cash flow statement, the more important one. And then, for especially younger folks starting out, and then the net worth statement, which becomes far more important later on as you build wealth and manage your finances. Now, how many people are taking accounting or take accounting? Don't worry. No, you're not going to. We're going to use the Paduma method. Have you heard of the Paduma method of getting your numbers? Picked it directly out of midair. No journal entries, no trial balances, so don't go screaming into the night, he's going to make us do accounting. No, we just pick these numbers. Now, because we do that, because we do that, it takes a few months to actually get it right. You have to fine tune it basically by trial and error. But those of you who are accounting majors might want to say, oh, I can do this a whole lot better. Fine, go ahead, but we're not going to do it here. And then create a plan for spending and saving. Budgeting! Why keep financial records? To help make better spending decisions, to plan future spending, to pay bills on time, to see changes in your net worth, yeah, that's later on, to make good investment decisions, to prepare your income taxes in preparation of applying for a loan. In fact, if you do these and you need a loan, you bring them to the bank, to the credit union, and show them, they're going to be impressed. Now, they have their own system. They're going to type in your numbers and it spits out their system. But they're going to be impressed. But the one thing that I think is most important, what is happening to your money? You're going to see it. It's going to be alive. And you hear people say, I don't know where the money goes. Have you ever heard that? Anyone say that? Maybe you said it. You're going to know. You might not like it, but you're going to know once you have your cash flow statement in pretty good working order. Okay, so what about a home file? What are you going to put in your home file? Maybe some of you, instead of loosing weight, are going to want to create a home file and get your items organized. What should you keep there? Items that you refer to often. Employment, personal records, tax records, services, money management, credit, consumer, insurance and investment records, car records. Although some people say you should keep the pink slip on the next slide. And then a retirement and planning document. Now, these are things you create, accordion file or whatever, file cabinet. But what about stuff that would be difficult or hard to replace? Anybody have a safe in here? Anybody have a safe? Well, you know, I'm not a big fan of safes, although you now can buy serious safes, I mean big safes, for only like less than $1,000 at Costco. Yeah, I mean, and they look pretty, I don't know, I'm not a safe expert, but don't buy one of these little dinky things, because what is the thief going to do?
Pick it up.
Just pick it up and leave it right here.
For fire protection.
Yes. Fire protection. Oh, yes. This is 1,800 degrees. It can survive 30 minutes. What about the papers inside? They're cooked. They're charred. There's a little ashes. Yeah. So, yeah, don't go back in to get the papers. Just get out because your face will melt. And it's happened to people. So these are things that are very important. And what I recommend is to rent a safety deposit box. It's cheap. They raised ours. We were paying $20. Now I think it went to $50. But we have a pretty big one. We could get a smaller one. But birth, marriage, death certificates, military papers, photos of valuables, serial numbers, mortgage papers, titles. I have the car titles in there too. Nobody has stock and bond certificates or coins. I don't know if I keep coins. But I'm not a big fan of buying a home safe, although the bigger safes now are a lot more safe. they're much better. They were designed for businesses, but now you can buy them for less than $1,000. How much does anybody?
Like, a couple hundred.
No, not the serious ones.
The Costco ones?
Yeah, the ones that are like your height. They're like $270.
Come down that much?
Cheap steel.
Cheap steel. Yeah, maybe the steel will melt. No, you gotta get real. A house fire gets up to about. I'm not an expert, by the way. And thankfully, the fire marshals don't come until the third or fourth week, and after we've lost a bunch of students, because you know, sometimes you have overflowing classes, and that's a no-no. But they'll tell you that the heat in a fire will get, and a house fire will get over 1,000 degrees. Which is, you know, you think, you don't know, your safe will melt. Don't go back inside. But these safes are supposed to be able to handle that, right? So, we'll see.
Well, a thief couldn't carry it out.
No, that's the idea. A thief couldn't carry it out, but they can drill it open anyway. So, all right. So, you know, they tell you to put the vehicle registration in your glove box. Is that where you keep it? I don't. I make sure we all have a copy and we put it in our wallet and our thing. Because I think, because then, you know, anybody can steal your car, they got your vehicle registration. But I'm paranoid. We'll discuss law estate documents later. Now, what's on your computer? Anything serious on your computer?
Everything.
Yeah. So you say, oh, I got a password. Is that?
No.
No, because they can just take the hard drive out and put it in our machine and read it. There are many companies. One of them is PGP, which stands for Pretty Good Protection, which is kind of cute. But that's the one I use. And so they can steal the computer, go right ahead. It's not worth $50. Maybe it's worth $100. But if they try to get the data off, it's encrypted. And they're not the only ones out there. Do you think I'm paranoid?
Nope.
Just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean that Putin's boys and girls are not after us. And there's not only just Putin's boys and girls. In fact, I have my one computer that is encrypted, that has all the financial stuff on it, that is air-gapped. I didn't come up with this word. Air, you heard of air-gapped? In other words, it's unplugged from the Internet. And so that's how paranoid I am. That machine isn't even plugged in the Internet. So doesn't mean I'm right, but that's what I do. Because my finances are pretty personal and pretty serious. And then I have my clients' finances on there, too. So if, you know, they steal mine, that's okay. Well, it's not okay. But if they steal my clients, I got to report that to the to my boss, and then the whole world has to be reported. So that's me. Yeah, it's funny. If somebody comes in your brokerage firm and they steal the papers from your, you don't have to report that. You don't have to report that to the authorities. But if they steal electronic data, you have to report that. That's the law. Okay, so any questions, any thoughts? So don't forget PGP, Pretty Good Protection. It's actually very good protection. It's an interesting story. This guy who created it was hounded by the NSA. You ever hear the NSA? Stands for No Such Agency? No, the National Security Agency. These are the people who listen in on your phone calls and check all your emails for the word terrorist or plutonium. If you were a terrorist, would you ever use the word terrorist or plutonium? No, you're not going to do that. Anyway, they're there. And they went after him. They threatened to jail him. And then all of a sudden, this is back in the early 2000s, they shut up. They stopped. And everyone said, ah, the NSA's broken the code. And the company said, no, we pay people to try to break into this thing, and they can't do it. So I don't know. So now, let's talk about budgets, because this is what we're going to do, folks. Successful budgets are well-planned, realistic, flexible, clearly communicated, and next to impossible. Does budgeting ever work, folks? Anybody try it? Yeah? Okay, cool. Well, we're not going to use that word. We're going to use the word cash flow statement. Doesn't that sound better? Cash flow. That's the budget. All right. Remember that saving is easier than budgeting. Which one do you like? Spend less than I earn? Who likes that? Say, spend less than I earn. Who likes live beneath your means? Some of you are not voting. Pay yourself first. That's usually what's important. And make love, not loans. Some of you didn't vote. You got to vote. You got to decide. You have to make a decision. Spend less than I earn. Live beneath my means. Pay yourself first. And make a love, not loans. I tell you, this one works all the time. It disarms people. They're hounding you to sign up for a loan. Oh, no, I make love, not loans. They go, oh, okay. Do I sound like a broken record if you're into vinyl? Is it reasonable for 10% for you to save? Yeah? Especially if you don't have the wife and the kid and the car in the house, or the husband and the kid and the car in the house, and the orthodontia and the veterinarian bill. Yeah, get in the habit now. So, we discussed these people, your money or your life, last week, and I threw out that website. I don't know if you went there. But this is what they do. This is their life. And some people do it maybe for a month or so. You decide whether you want to do it or not. They keep a notebook with them at all times. Now, they have asked for that, perhaps, on your smartphone, to do it. So every time you spend money or money comes into your life, you write it down, no matter how small, and you update your cash flow statement constantly. Most people are not going to do this. Do it for 3-4 weeks and see what you think. And sometimes people say, oh, yeah, I do it. I keep everything in order, and we'll see how we can do that in just a bit. But you decide or get involved. you see this new thing. I've sort of just look every once in a while. Financial independence, retire early, and there's stories of people retiring at age 30 and 40, and they're supposedly the heroes. And I think right now they want to get rid of us old folks, and they're offering us a golden handshake. And I'm looking at the numbers. I'm thinking, you know, financially, I really should retire. But I can't. I would miss torturing. I would miss the center. I'd miss bouncing around, jumping in front. Because most people, you know, you do this kind of stuff, and they kind of walk away from you. They go, ooh, but you can't. You know, you're stuck. So, okay, we're here, so we might as well do it. And so, so here we are. I put the net worth statement first and the cash flow statement second, so I should have done it the other way around. But these are the two documents. And if you take an accounting class, you'll learn that really this thing is called the income statement, or sometimes called the profit and loss. And this thing is called the balance sheet. And I really do hope you would remember those two names, because you're going to hear both. You're going to hear income statement and cash flow statement, and you're going to hear net worth statement and balance sheet. Now, the accountants cringe when we use the term cash flow statement, because a statement of cash flows is an entirely different document, and you'll learn how to do that in the accounting class. But we're going to use the financial planning and investment. We use cash flow statement. And this guy is the movie. This one is more important when you're getting started. Whoops, sorry. Excuse me. This is the movie. This guy is the snapshot, a moment in time. And that becomes more important as your finances grow, as you build wealth. So let's take a look at each one in detail. The net worth statement is very simple, actually. What do we own? What are our assets? What are our debts, our liabilities? And then what was left over? Net worth. And the we could use assets. We could also use the term debts for liabilities. And what do the accountants use? They use the term equity. We don't have to use that. Net worth. So assets, we total up those assets, we total up those debts, and then you can break them into long-term, short-term, current assets. But the accountants use current liabilities and current assets, stuff that's going to be done within 1 year. We say short-term, so the accountants say current. And then they, in the accounting world, anything greater than 1 year, that's long-term. So that's the accounting world, so you've got to be careful. So it's not unusual, especially for younger folks, especially if you went to a university and then are coming back to Southwestern, for this net worth to be negative. It is not atypical because of the student loan. And the book says, and other people say, if your assets, your liabilities exceed your assets, you're insolvent. Well, that's not really true. That's not true. Just because you have negative net worth, just because if you sold off all your assets and paid off your debts, you wouldn't be able to pay off your debts. But there is a rule of thumb. Once your short-term liabilities, which are normally credit cards, once they exceed your income, once they're equal to your income, you have $25,000 in annual income, $25,000 in short-term debt credit cards, you're in trouble. You definitely need to seek help, in my humble opinion. But insolvency is better. Why does it do that? You know, I thought I fixed that. I don't know why it does that. Insolvency is better determined here, because the cash flow is the real star of the show, especially when you're younger. We take our income, and that's usually pretty straightforward. We got a job. Maybe it's our financial aid. We look at our financial aid as a source of income. And that's, you know, a few things, maybe a part-time job. But then here's the tricky part. Here's the part that's going to take a few months, especially if you, you know, have a household, and all the expenses, all the fixed, all the variable expenses. And then what's left over? Do you have a surplus? or sometimes called discretionary. Did I spell that right? Discretionary. Or do you have a deficit? Or a, what's another word for that? Surplus, deficit, shortfall. Is it negative? And they use parentheses for negative numbers. And we use this one. This is what we use for insolvency, for a basis for creating a spending, saving, and investment plan. You create these two documents. Keep them up to date. They're going to last you a lifetime, in my humble opinion. Okay, so let's get started. Everybody wake up. Wake up now. Time to watch. Who's got a good joke? Anybody got a good joke? No? We had a joke in the morning class. Anybody remember it? The joke in the morning class? Want me to tell it to you? No? You don't want to hear the joke. I like it. What do you call a person who has insomnia, dyslexia, and is an agnostic? I mean, what does it do? I'm sorry. What does a person who has insomnia, dyslexia, and is an insomniac do? Dyslexia. No, I said it was. What does an insomniac, dyslexic, agnostic do? Stays awake all night wondering whether or not there is a dog. Do you like that one? I liked it because I have a little bit of dyslexia. Okay, so now, in chapter 2, you will see that there is an Excel spreadsheet, Excel, or a Google spreadsheet. And you can decide which one you want to use. If you use the Excel spreadsheet, you have to have Excel, or you might have OpenOffice or LibreOffice, which are free, or you can just turn around and put it back into Google Docs, but you don't have to do that. So if I click on this guy, it's going to want me to download it and start Excel, and enable editing. But we're not going to use that because I like Google Docs. I'm happy with Google Docs. Anybody using Google Docs? It works. It's easy. You can share stuff really easily, and it works on virtually any machine. It's a little hard on your cell phone, but you can do it. And so here's the Google spreadsheet. And so now what it's going to say is, hey, look, this is not your document. You know, I'm the only one who has access to this. You have access to use it and to copy it, but you can't edit it. So what some people do is they'll send me a message saying, hey, can I use it? No. You copy it or download it as. So I should log in. I should sign in. I'm going to sign in with a different account. I'm going to sign in with a different Google account. This is my personal account. And then you want to send me something there. Go right ahead. Okay, what's the password? Okay. So that's what I use for our... Use this one for real estate, real PST. Piano Sterling Piano. Okay, so when you call this guy up, now what's going on? Okay, no, I'm not logged in. It still has the picture, but this is not the account I use to create these documents. So you see some of the things are grayed out. It says view only. So here's how you can manipulate these. You can download as to your local hard drive. Download to an Excel document, OpenOffice. But if you have a Google account, if you have a Google Gmail, if you have Google Mail, you have a Google account, you say make a copy, and now it's going to put it on my drive. Not his drive, my drive, even though they're both my drive. And it gives you this incredibly useful name, copy of. And so how original is that? Let's just make it financial statements. And so now you'll see that all the menu items are now okay. I can do them now. All right? So either way, either download as Excel or OpenOffice, LibreOffice, or make a copy in your Google account. And Google Drive gives you, 15 gigabytes of space, right? It's an outrageous amount. I don't know where the hell they're getting all this storage from. Some hard drive manufacturers are in big business. Now, how many people have never used a spreadsheet? Huh? Never. You can never use a spreadsheet. Okay. If you don't know how to use a spreadsheet, I really strongly urge you to either take CIS 101 or CIS 122B, it's called, or just bang away on the darn thing. It's actually a very big calculator. It's not that hard to do. And some of the things you're going to make a few mistakes, but that's okay. Especially with the, we'll take a look at the formulas. Everything is great. But the first thing you do, so you don't turn in something that says type your name here, is type your name here. So type your, don't type your name here. Type your name. Okay. You understand? So, sometimes not. So, do you know, so this is Turner. Do you know Turner?
Yeah.
Turner over? Okay, so put your name there, but don't put your name there. Put your name there. And that's Turner. But Turner, he's into certain things. Anyway, he's Turner. Now, this is where we start putting in numbers. Because as we move around, you're going to see that, you know, we're seeing we're moving around. Now we're in A3. It's like bingo. Let's move over to B3. And how much does Turner make a month? 2,500, maybe he makes 2,800. Let's put in 2,800 and watch what happens here to the cell to the right, annual, and the cell below, gross. You'll see it, change. The computer does the calculation for us. So all it's doing in this cell is saying, okay, what's in this cell? Whatever's in B3, multiply that times 12. You need to put an equal sign there. So B3 times 12. And then this one is summing those two cells up. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there are probably thousands of these things for free on the website, spreadsheets that do cash flow for you, hundreds of them. So you can make up your own. You can use this one. You can find another one. Or you can do it manually. But manually is a pain in the neck because anytime any numbers change, you got to redo it with your calculator. Questions? Susanna, did you have a question?
No, I forgot.
Okay, great. So, and does he have a part-time job? Maybe he's going to use his financial aid as a source of income. Well, that's a little tricky, right? Do you get paid financial aid every month?
No.
No, so what you have to do is you have to think, okay, what's it over the year?
Or semester.
But so how? Let's sum it over a year. Maybe it's $6,000 a year, right? So what we can do is we can say, okay, what's $6,000, put an equal sign first, and divide that by 12. And so now we see our financial aid as a monthly income. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Make sense there, what we did? We annualized the income. We annualized the financial aid and turned it. So that way we don't spend it all in 1 month, and it's all gone, and then we go, okay, what are we doing now for the next 3 months and 4 months until next semester comes along. Income tax is very lame. Very, very lame, folks. What I did, you have to go look at your, we're going to do income tax next Thursday. We're going to start income tax. Ugh. It's not as hard as it sounds. I mean, it's dry. It's tedious. Ooh, yeah, it's hard. Okay. What I did, I just multiplied the gross income by 14%. That's really lame. It's really, really lame. Look on your W-2 forms. Look on your tax returns. The best. Look on your tax returns and come up with how much you're spending. He's not. If he's making this much money, yeah, maybe he's spending a little less. Maybe he's spending like 13%. So let's make that change. What's the rent? Maybe $750. What's the? He lives in a room with a couple other guys. Gas and electric. Maybe it's $40. So now you just start enumerating and putting in all the expenses. Are you with me? You understand what's going on? And then there's places where you can overwrite, oh, we forgot that we have to pay the trash bill. But the trash bill is paid every 2 months, and it's usually $40 every 2 months, so let's take 40 and divide that by 2. That's how you work it out. What's miscellaneous? Toothpaste, toilet paper, stuff like that. That's a catch-all phrase. Piece of cake? Not that hard. Where's the hard part? When you get down to the bottom and you see that you have an extra $300 or $170 a month, and that ain't what that isn't your experience. Your experience isn't, and we don't have an extra $170 a month. I mean, what's going on here? Well, what's happened is you're forgetting the gym membership or the veterinarian bills or whatever. And that's why they recommend that you write everything down for 3 weeks, a month, a couple of months, and then come back to this thing and fine-tune it. Make sense? Make sense? So this is part of your assignment. This is the more important one, in my humble opinion, because for most people, especially younger, the cash flow statement's more important. But eventually, the net worth statement becomes important. And here's where we put our assets, some liquid, illiquid, real estate's an illiquid asset, and our, down here you see the debts. So does he have a condominium? No. So just hit the delete key or hit zero. Does he have a car? A Ford Mucus? What is it called? Ford Focus. Thank you very much. You're helpful. Very helpful. And how much is it worth? Go on Craigslist. Maybe it's only worth $8,000. Does he have a second car? No. Just zero it out. Is his furniture really worth $4,000? Is the furniture? Can you really sell your furniture for $4,000? Maybe. Again, what's realistic? No. Maybe $500. It's early American poverty. Are your computer? That's early American poverty. What are your computers worth? Yeah, maybe. Where do you try to sell them? You know, because computers depreciate. But maybe you're a gamer and you've got $1,000 worth of computers. And then what else? Maybe your baseball card collection. What is it worth? I don't know, $400 or whatever. And then we got some gym equipment or maybe a fitness equipment that's worth some money. So you go around and find out what your stuff is worth. And be realistic. We want what is called fair market value. In other words, what would a reasonable person who's in the market for these items, what would they realistically spend for those items? Fair market value. So you might have spent $15,000 for this car, but now they're selling these things for selling for $8,000. Yes?
Can we bother putting down things we know we'll never sell?
What are they worth? And this is what gets me angry. People will turn this in with zero. Come on. You an American, right? You got lots of stuff. We got lots of stuff in this great land of ours. So just open up your drawers, open up your closets, and hey, how many video games do you have? How many shoes do you have? How many raincoats or whatever? Thousands, yeah, some people have thousands of dollars worth of video games. And they think, I don't have nothing. Like, what are you talking about? You're not alone. A lot of people spend a ton of money on video games, right? You know the video game industry is bigger than the movie industry? Yeah, Mario has made like 5 or 6 times as much money as Star Wars over 40 years. Yeah, so video games are a big deal. Okay. So then, how much is in your checking account? How much is in your bank account? I mean, your savings account. If you have another investment, send me some stocks somebody gave you, and they're worth, I don't know, $400. And then, do you have a Roth IRA, a 401k? Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. Just put it in there. Maybe just delete the stuff you don't have. So there are our total assets, $18,420. Now, if he doesn't have a condo, he doesn't have a mortgage, and the credit card balance, maybe you have a disaster card. Mm-hmm. And how much is that? I don't know, $1,200. Now, I forgot to mention one thing. Okay, forget one of these other guys. Student loan balance maybe is $1,400. Back on the cash flow statement, it says, what are your loan payments? So here's the student loan. And here, whoops. And here's the disaster card. And this one's zero. Now, this, on the cash flow statement, we put the monthly payment. Don't put the balance. The balance goes on the net worth statement. So on the cash flow statement, you just put the balance. Don't put the balance. I'm sorry, you put the payment. You put the payment. Don't put the balance. Here is where you put the balance. And so maybe we owe, disaster card. Maybe that's it. And then on our Ford Mucus Focus, we still owe $5,000. And so what do you do? after you've put in all your assets and your liabilities, total assets minus total liabilities, and there's your net worth. That's your equity. That's what you have. That's what you own. Do not be surprised, dear students, especially if you've got student loans, that this number is negative. Don't be upset. Don't be, especially if they're student loans, because student loans are meant to be paid over a long period of time. They're not something coming due right away. And there's usually forbearances and the like, and who knows how we're going to deal with that. We're going to have to deal with it somebody. It's $1.5 trillion in student loans or close to that. And they're not all going to get paid. So, you know, we bailed out the banks. We'll see what happens with the students. Any questions? Any thoughts? So that's your assignment. You're going to turn in the cash flow statement and the net worth statement. Now, these next two pages are for your usage only. For your usage only. The monthly statement, the monthly budget, this is, especially if you're really serious about this and you look at it and you go, wait a minute, I know I don't have an extra $300 a month. What you do is you put the budgeted numbers, the numbers that you budgeted, and then you print it out and write in the month and the year. And then, as the month goes through, you actually write in the actual numbers. Find out what you're actually paying, okay? Then take that document at the end of the month and come back to your spreadsheet. And here is the yearly budget, the yearly cash flow statement. So then you put in the actual numbers for each month. And this is what those people in SimpleLivingForum.net, Your Money or Your Life, this is what they do. They keep track of every dime that comes in, every dime that leaves. And most people, you know, you decide whether you're going to do it or not. It's not part of the assignment. You decide whether you're going to do that or not. And maybe do it for a month or so. But the cash flow and the net worth statement are most important. Cool? Excited?
Yeah.
No. Nah. Yeah. Nah. Scared? Yeah, some people are scared. But awareness is the first step. You know, what, you know, where are we? Where are we? Because, as we said, people will say, I don't know where the money goes. I don't know where the money goes. Well, after you do the cash flow statement, you're going to know where the money, you might not like it, but you're going to know. Cool? Thoughts, ideas? Okay, let's now turn our attention to, back to, okay. Did anybody ready to turn in the bonus assignment for the Super Bowl?
I'm really curious what it was.
Did anybody do it?
I sort of did it.
You sort of did it? Or did you do it or not do it?
I did it, but I mean, I did it right.
Well, ready to turn it in? Okay, what'd you get?
I got
1448.
Are we giving it to you?
Yeah. You gave it 2 points.
Really?
Now, some of you are going to write down 1448.
You said like 4 or 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Maybe like 150 to 200 plays, if that, like, in the game.
The average usually goes from 12 to 15 minutes.
The average is 10 to 15 minutes, 12, 13 minutes.
I put 7 minutes and 33.
You probably shut it down too soon, but you're getting there. Yeah. You feel a little bit too...
And then I asked my dad, my uncles, and my brother.
What did they think?
Well, I put down an hour and 30.
An hour and 30? There's only an hour and a clock.
Okay. I was figuring out, like, from the time it started, like, 3 hours.
Yeah.
And then my dad said 2, my brother said 1, my uncle said 45.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, so now, another bonus assignment. We don't have time. Well, how much time do we do? What time do we do? I know, we still have 10 minutes. Okay, wake up. Everybody wake up. Stretch. All right, so let's do at least one of these future value practice problems. So what page is this? Future value practice problem. Page seven. We have plenty of practice problems for you to do, folks, because we want you to do this. Please don't be one of the students who leaves it blank or, sorry, teacher, I spaced, because this is important. We want to instill in you the desire to become wealthy. Cool?
I got stuck.
You got stuck. That's okay. That's okay. Let's do it again. So let's forget number one and do... Okay, well, let's do number two. Who will read number two? Don't everybody jump at once. Yes, sir. And your name again is? I'm sorry. Anthony. Right, Anthony. You're the first one. Number two. So, how much does it cost for a pack of cigarettes?
$8 to $10,
right? Oh, yeah. How much? How many cigarettes are in a pack?
20.
How much does it cost to make a cigarette? Less than 2 cents. Like 1.5 cents. Drugs. Nicotine, caffeine. Yeah, they're alcohol. Great way to make money. And so... he has said, that's it, no more. I'm not paying Philip Morris. I'm not paying British American Tobacco. I'm paying myself. So he takes $120 per month or $1,440, whoa, I made that look ugly, $1,440 per year, and now is paying himself in an investment that gets 9% over 20 or 30 years? 20 years. 30 years. Okay. So is this a one-time payment or a series of payments? So which table do we use? The bottom one. Go across 9%, down 30 years, and what is the future value multiplier of a series of investments for 30 years at 9%? 136.308. We multiply the yearly amount, 1440, times... 136.308, and what will he have after 30 years? Calculators, 99 cent calculator. And don't forget the 52 cents. You think the folks at Philip Morris, Reynolds Tobacco, do you think they've taken business 121 and understand future value? Now I got a little story to tell you. This guy smokes cigarettes still. He knows he should stop. And they've been working, his buddy and he have been working for a long time in this one business. Now he has to go outside and smoke, right? So the one guy comes up, his buddy, and says, are you still smoking? He goes, yeah. You know, if you put... you know, this money away, you could have a Lamborghini. You know, after 30 years, how much money you've spent? And the smoker says, well, do you smoke? Have you ever smoked? He goes, no. So where's your Lamborghini? And so this is another example, another opportunity for a bonus assignment. How's the market doing, by the way? It's doing well. Okay, forget that. It's a very important day for me, believe it or not, but I'm not going to tell you why. Okay, so the bonus assignment, extra credit.
Where was that at?
This is, I think, the very last page. It should be near the end somewhere. What did I do with mine?
Chapter 1,
yeah. Page 10. I knew that. Page 10. Okay. Two of the future value exercises that we did involved reducing expenses and replacing with a stream of investments. One example was buying coffee at $5, and the other was buying and smoking those little white tubes of tobacco called cigarettes. The exercises demonstrated how much money a person could save by simply getting rid of a bad, unhealthy habit. Usually, programs to reduce stop tobacco usage concentrate on the health benefits of stopping smoking. Do they work?
No.
Why? Because when do people start smoking? 12, 13, 14. You are the healthiest you will ever be for the rest of your life. So you're smoking these cigarettes and you can still run a mile and not break a sweat. So they don't work.
But they also dumb down the science. They don't really tell you why they're actually bad for you.
But it's something that's not going to happen for 20, 30 years. What do I care? I'm young. Screw those bums trying to make me healthy. I like to play with their minds. And we don't allow smoking on campus anymore. But I would go up to people who are young, beautiful. I'd say, oh, it's so sad. You're young and beautiful. And you're smoking. It's sad. And they go, what do you care, you old fart? I say, but please keep smoking. I own stock in Philip Morris. And then they look at you. What are you trying to do? Make me die? You're the stupid idiot that's putting the damn thing in your mouth. No one's putting a gun to your head to smoke. So young teens are in the best health of their lives. They don't respond in mornings. So your bonus assignment is to create some type of anti-tobacco promotional media, such as a poster, a pamphlet, a brochure, a graphic, a website, to warn people of the financial hazards of smoking. So forget the health hazards. You're not interested in stopping them on that. Pitch your project to your health instructor, the campus nurse, ones on the clubs on campus that distribute anti-tobacco smoking, friends, family. Please do your own creative work. Now, some people will just take a graphic off the internet. Well, do something with it, all right? And so this is an example of what we call beyond personal financial planning. And you might think I'm crazy, and maybe right. But the jokes are there for a reason. The jokes are there for a certain type of learner. And then there are other types of learner who are into the details, are the ones who do the best. And then there are other types of learners that think, what the hell can I do with this crap? What is it good for? You know, what is it going to use it for? And this is for those people. These are for the people who like to run with it and do something completely different than you would never normally do in a class like this. So take your time. Do a good job. It's open-ended. If it takes you longer than to March 14th, I don't care. But make sure your project emphasizes the financial hazard. So let's take a look at some examples. So here's an example.
Just be a graph.
Like this one. I like this one. This one's pretty cool. All adds up, that person. This one.
So those are all examples.
Those are examples, okay. Yeah, all examples.
Oh, that was real. Was that real?
I think they just took it off the internet somewhere. Let's go take a look at some of the older ones. This one is like a little trifold brochure. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cute. Check that out. And then, where's the video? One of the students made a little video. She spelled nuts wrong. No, it was a woman. Yeah. Is that cute? Did a pretty good job, don't you think? She knows I like fruit. She knows. I talked about Puerto Vallarta. I really like Puerto Vallarta. And Zihuatanejo. Well done. What do you think, right? And then this guy broke my heart. He disappeared. I don't know where the hell he went.
I like that one. I heard that one.
You heard this one already? Cool. So, just let your imagination run wild and have a fun time. Okay, Thursday we start everybody's favorite topic, state taxes. So you don't want to miss Thursday. Tell people there's still room in the class. Free beer tomorrow. And we'll see you Thursday, folks.